Heavenly Father, I thank you right now in this hour. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. Let revelation knowledge flow freely through my lips. In the name of Jesus, I command every single thought that is not under the will of God to be held bound, not to come out of my mouth where it would hurt the listener. Father God, as it says in Luke 12 and 12, it says, for the Holy Spirit shall teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. I ask in this hour that the words that come out my mouth be straight from a heaven. An anointing just flows freely, and that the listeners be blessed. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' precious name. And the church said, amen. Okay, so I am led to talk about the calling. And what I mean by the calling, I'm talking about the calling when God has pressed on your heart to venture in becoming a minister, and things to expect when you take this walk or this journey. Now, one thing I will say is that just for myself, just, as a matter of fact, I'm just going to give you just a personal testimony. I was led to start my ministry in 2002. Matter of fact, May of 2002. No, sorry, April of 2002. And I was led to start off by ministering over the internet. And when I began, I was doing Bible teachings on in chat rooms, like in on AOL and Yahoo. But which is really interesting, when I was led to start, I didn't know much about the Bible in regards to scripture references, and I was a bit scared and nervous, you know, feeling that prompting of the Holy Spirit saying, I want you to start the ministry, and yet at the same time, knowing that I didn't know much of the Bible. You know, you have some ministers that have been ministering for over 30, 40 years, and you can hear them, you know, recite the scriptures verbatim, and just sitting there like, wow, in amazement. And it's like, how can I ever get to that space? So if you are listening right now, whether you've been ministering for years or you feel led to begin your ministry, I am going to give you a few nuggets that I still use today that I know will be a blessing to you. Okay, so one of the first things I was looking at, you know, I had to heard the Holy Spirit say, I want you to write a sermon. And I was like, okay, write a sermon about what? And then I began to hear certain keywords or phrases. And if you have a paperback Bible, you know, you could be 3 years in a month trying to find this particular scripture that's prompting your spirit. So what I began to do is I had downloaded a Bible software program. And matter of fact, you can go online and you know, you can download an app for your smartphone, or you can go to BibleGateway.com, and they have a variety of different Bibles to choose from. But what's also interesting is that they have a search engine. So right now, there's a particular scripture in my head that I'm kind of got a few of the words that's jingling around in my head. I don't know exactly where it's at, but I'm going to type in a few words just to see what will come up. And it's basically the scripture that I'm thinking about. You may know it. It talks about when Jesus told his disciples to go out and don't take anything. As a matter of fact, let me do a quick search right now. And again, I'm just flowing naturally. You know, this is no show, no gimmick, no premeditated, no prepared. This is just being in the presence of God and looking at Luke 12 and 12. Matter of fact, let's go there right now. Luke 12 and 12. And if you don't have your Bible, please get it now or open up your Bible software. And I said the scripture in my prayer, but I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible. And Luke 12 and 12 says, "For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour and moment what you ought to say." Now, I know sometimes you may hear a minister talk about particular scripture, and sometimes, you know, you can use it as a reference, but, you know, you have to know the whole story of the scripture. So when you're looking at Luke 12 and 12, it's talking about this gentleman who was about to be, you know what, let's just go there right now. Let's just go to the book of, let's look at the whole thing so you know what I'm talking about. So let's look at Luke 12. And we are going to start at verse 1 in Luke 12. And I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible. And Luke 12 and 1 says, "In the meanwhile, when so many thousand of the people had gathered that they were trampling on one another, Jesus commended by saying, primarily to his disciples, 'Be on your guard against the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, producing unrest and violent agitation.'" Verse 2, "Nothing is so closely covered up with it will not be revealed or hidden that it will not be known." Verse 3, "Whatever you have spoken in the darkness shall be heard and listened to in the light. And what you have whispered in people's ears and behind closed doors will be proclaimed upon the housetops." Verse 4, "I tell you, my friends, do not dread and be afraid of those who will kill the body and after that have nothing more that they can do." Verse 5, "But I will warn you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after killing, has the power to hurtle into hell, Gehenna. Yes, I say to you, fear him." And they're talking about God. Verse 6, "Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? And yet, not one of them is forgotten or uncared for in the presence of God." Verse 7, "But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not be stuck with fear or seized with alarm. You are of greater worth than many flocks of sparrows." Verse 8, "And I tell you, whoever declares openly, speaking out freely, and confesses that he is my worshiper, and acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man also will declare and confess and acknowledge him before the angels of God." Verse 9, "But he who disowns and denies and rejects and refuses to acknowledge me before men, I will disown and deny and reject and refuse and acknowledge in the presence of the angels of God." Verse 10, "And everyone who makes a statement or speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But he who blasphemies against the Holy Spirit, that is, whoever intentionally comes short of that reverence due to the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him. For him, there is no forgiveness." Verse 11, "And when they bring you before the synagogues and the magistrate and the authorities, do not be anxious beforehand how you shall reply in defense or what you ought to say. Verse 12, "For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour, in that moment, what you ought to say." There's a lot of stuff in there. But again, looking at, I don't want to go too far off. I just wanted to make the statement here is that sometimes you hear ministers use a section of the scripture and not the whole thing, but you have to understand the whole context of the thing. So again, when you're looking at ministering the word of God, try not to form it where it just fits you. Understand the whole thing. You know, so if someone comes to you and say, well, okay, that means this, but what is the whole meaning of the overall text of that particular chapter, so to speak, okay? But again, I always look at Luke 12 and 12, for the Holy Spirit shall teach you what you ought to say in that very hour. And Jesus said that my sheep hear my voice. So when you can hear the Holy Spirit or the voice of God and you move in that direction as you hear, then you begin to see things change and other things. All right. So again, looking at when you are called to start a ministry, I will tell you, it is no easy task. It is a continuous battle of mind, body, and soul with yourself. Also, as you begin to minister to others, you will have high points, low points. It doesn't make a difference how anointed you are. It doesn't make a difference if Jesus Christ himself came to you, touched you, and gave you a double portion of the anointing that he has on his life and put it on you, guaranteed you. The things that Jesus went through, the troubles, not saying you're going to go through exactly what he went through, but it is not going to be an easy road. So you have to, one, place yourself or pray that God will send you not only the strength, the encouragement, and the wisdom to move forward, but also the pray that God sends you godly people who can hear the voice of God, who will not only hear the voice of God, but also will respond to the voice of God. Because sometimes you could be going through a thing and you are just all in your head. Like for me, I'm an introvert, so I'm constantly thinking. Although I don't talk a lot, but in my mind, I'm constantly speaking and chatting and stuff. And sometimes you can get locked into a conversation in your head that will have you stuck. You can't move forward. You don't know what to do. And sometimes you have to have someone who God has called or spoken to their heart for them to give you a phone call, send you an email, something to get you out your head so you can receive the thing that God has for you. You can move forward. All right. So let's go back to what I was talking about in regards to the conversation that Jesus had with his disciples when he was telling them to go out. And there's a few words that's just coming to my mind right now. I'm just going to type in and see what comes up. Again, take your time. So let's see here. Let's see. The one word that comes to me is take. No. I know you're probably saying no, but I know the one that's just says take. Take no. I looked at take no. I know it was in there. It didn't hit me, but then I remember the word purse. Okay. And that is in the book of Mark, chapter 6. But you know what? I'm going to go to Mark chapter 6 and verse 1. Let's start there. Mark chapter 6, verse 1. And I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible. And again, I just heard that one little word, it's the purse. And I remember reading scripture before, but I just couldn't remember what exact verse it was in. Okay, so here in the book of Mark chapter 1, it says, Jesus went away from there and came to his own country and hometown, Nazareth, and his disciples followed with him. Verse 2, and on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who listened to him were utterly astonished, saying, where did this man acquire all this? What is the wisdom, the broad and full and intelligent, which has been given to him? What mighty works and exhibitions of power are wrought by his hands? Verse 3, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, and Joe, and Jose, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters among us? And they took offense at him and were hurt. That is, they disapproved of him, and it hindered them from acknowledging his authority, and they were caused to stumble and fall. Verse 4, but Jesus said to them, A prophet is not without honor, deference, reverence, except in his own country and among his relatives and in his own house. Verse 5. And he was not able to do even one work of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sickly people and cured them. Verse 6. And he marveled because of their unbelief, their lack of faith in him. And he went about among the surrounding villages and continued teaching. Verse 7. And he called to him the 12 apostles and began to send them out as his ambassadors, two by two, and gave them authority and power over the unclean spirits. And verse 8, it says, he charged them to take nothing for their journey except a walking stick, no bread, no wallet for a collection bag, no money in their belts, girded purses. Verse 9, but to go with sandals on their feet and not to put on two tunics, undergarments. Verse 10, and he told them, wherever you go into a house, stay there until you leave that place. Verse 11, and if any community will not receive and accept and welcome you, and they refuse to listen to you, when you depart, shake the dust off that is on your feet for a testimony against them. Truly, I tell you, it will be more tolerable in Sodom and Gomorrah in the judgment day that for that town. So, looking at that, let's look at verse 8. He says, he charged them to take nothing for their journey except a walking stick, no bread, no wallet for collection, no money in their belts, girdles, purses. So, looking at part of when you are called into ministry, and I went through this too. I was ministering, and sometimes, and I'll be honest with you, I got caught up in looking at, and again, I have nothing against the prosperity message, but at the time, I needed some money like yesterday. And usually you will go to a ministry or listen to a pastor that has a prosperity or wealth anointing to try to, you can grab onto that and take some of that in and see your life change in a way where you can be afloat. But if you're looking at this in verse 8, Jesus told his apostles, his disciples, to go out and don't take anything. Because one of the main reasons why Jesus told them not to take anything is because they have to learn how to be broken from things. When God calls you into ministry, one of the biggest things that he does is break your dependency on things. Because oftentimes, a person will never move forward unless they have a thing, a person, place, or thing. So I'm just looking at it for myself. When I started doing ministry, there wasn't no tithes or offerings coming in. But I was struggling with, okay, how am I going to pay this bill? How am I going to pay that bill? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? And looking at how the mind operates, your spirit or your soul is saved, your body will be saved in time, but your mind is just a loose cannon. It goes all over the place. It has so many. It takes in so much information. It also plays back memories of yesterday or yesteryear, good and bad. And trying to maneuver on to maneuver through life when we've been taught and trained to go to school, to get a good education, to get a job, and it's this way of survival that we've been taught and trained up through education and as well as through our parents and things that we learned from maybe stories from our ancestors, you know, we have this way of being or this way of living. So when Jesus told his apostles to go out and don't take anything, it's part of the breaking. Because if you can't move and do something unless you have money, God can't use you effectively. I'll say it again. If your dependency is on a thing or things, person, places, or things, God can't use you effectively, because there will always be a hindrance for you to move forward unless you have that thing. Now, and I'm not saying that you don't need those things, but for God to use you powerfully, you can't let that thing be the obstacle that stops you. Perfect example. If you are held bound by things, when God tells you to do something or you see something that's not right, the spirit of fear will rise up and say, you know what, I can't say that, because if I say that, I'm going to lose that thing. And then sometimes when you go forward, you say, you know what, I'm going to yield and not say anything because I need that thing, and you don't do it, then all of a sudden you feel you begin to feel irritated, or like, you know what, I messed up. That's okay if you're going through that, because everybody has to go through that phase. But, and again, God can't use you powerfully if you are stuck and attached to things. And perfect example, I'll just share again some of my testimony of what I went through going back in like to 2001, right before I had my encounter with God, October 30th, 2001, I was living, sleeping in an office recording studio I was at in New York on 145 West 45th Street. I was sleeping on the floor. Occasionally you will see like little mice run by or whatever. But at that time I was just paralyzed mentally, totally mentally paralyzed. Okay, after I had the encounter, I was still dealing with some of those things, but the way I viewed myself was pathetic, just absolutely pathetic. And again, for those of you who know me, this was after the success of Tent City. So I went through a major phase where I was just broke down to nothing, pride and a whole bunch of stuff. But looking at, as I began to yield, to hear the Holy Spirit, get understanding of what it means about paying tithes, and we can go into a whole conversation about that, and then begin to do the things as I get in my spirit to do. And when you're dealing with God, he always pushes you in an area to face the fear. And if you don't pass that test, you will always stay where you're at. So again, in ministry, there will be many levels of fear that will rise up. You will, when you get deeper into the things of God, anybody that's around you that doesn't have a heart to God, for God, not trying to seek the wisdom of God, they will begin to look at you strange and funny, and sometimes you will feel ostracized because you are in this place where you're trying to do the right thing for God, and at the same time you're looking at your needs and you're trying to juggle between, God, I want to serve you and support you and do and answer the call, but at the same time I am dealing with the concern of being able to take care of my household, being able to feed myself, clothe myself, and all these things. But as you see here in Mark chapter 8, when Jesus told his disciples to go out, he told them, don't take anything. So there is a period where you will be broke, busted, and disgusted, and will look shameful to others. I've gone through it and continue to go through it. Because when God calls you to do a thing, it is not like what everybody else does. Okay? So marinate on that. Mark chapter 6 and verse 8 is very powerful. Very, 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 very powerful. Now looking at that Jesus told him to go out and don't take anything, let's look for something else. Because if Jesus told them to go out and don't take anything, was there a time period when they were able to pick up what they had? So now I'm going to do a keyword search. And I read the scripture. I'm not familiar where it's at right now, but I'm being this vulnerable for you to realize that sometimes you will put extra pressure on yourself and you just need to take a step back and just relax. Just breathe for a moment. It's okay. It is okay. All right. So I'm hearing a few words in my head, and it says, we lack nothing. Okay, so now I'm going to try lack anything. I know it. You know what? I believe it is in. It's in the New Testament. Here we go. Go to the book of Luke 22. Now, you probably already found this. If you're going along with me right now, you probably already found it. All right. Okay, so you know what? Let's go to Luke 22. It's actually at verse 35, but I want to just go a little bit. I want to go to Luke 20. Let's go to Luke 22, and we are going to start at verse. Okay, let's start at verse 32. All right, so it says, but I have prayed especially for you, Peter, that your own faith may not fail. And when you yourself have turned again, strengthen and establish your brethren. Verse 33. And Simon Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Verse 34. But Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, before a single cock shall crow, this day you will three times utterly deny that you know me. And verse 35 says, and when he said to them, when I sent you out with no purse or provision, bag or sandals, did you lack anything? And they answered, nothing. Verse 36. Then he said to them, but now let him who has a purse take it, and also his provision bag, and let him who has no sword sell his mantle and buy a sword. Okay, so look at that. Let's look at verse 35 again. So you remember Mark chapter 6 and verse 8 when Jesus told him to don't take anything, but now you see here in Luke 22 and verse 35, where he says, and he said to them, when I sent you out with no purse or provision bags or sandals, did you lack anything? They answered, nothing. When God sends you out, when he tells you to start a thing, there is an unseen provision in place, which is called favor and grace. When the favor of God is on your life, things that you normally needed to move forward, to do a thing, to complete a task or an objective, favor steps in and replaces those things. And the favor of God is the Word of God. When you understand the Word of God, when you understand that God knew you from the beginning, he knows where you're at now, and he knows your future. He knew when you were born, you couldn't take care of yourself. You know, the doctor could have dropped you on the floor when he delivered you out of your mom's womb and just left you there or something. But God knew the doctor, the exact doctor to help bring you into the world. He knew the exact, the right parent for you to come out of, your mom's womb to come out of. He knew the environment that you need to grow up in your weak state. Because when you are an infant, you a baby, a newborn, you can't feed yourself, you can't clothe yourself, you can't bathe yourself, you can't talk, you can't walk, you can't do anything. But God had a provision already in place. And when you can go back to that space and you know what? In my state of weakness as a child, I was covered. So God uses that as example to remind you that in your weakness, in your fear, in your doubt, in your worry, God has a provision for you already laid out. But then, how would the disciples know if they were going to lack anything if they never went out? How can you know if the ministry that God has called you to do is going to be all that if you quit? How would you know if the thing that God has promised you, not what somebody else said, but showed you an internal vision of what's to come if you don't go? My God. Do not forfeit the vision that God has birthed in you. Although you may have hit a brick wall, although you may have stumbled here and there, it's okay. Pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and keep it moving. Get back in the game. Get back on the field. There are people that need what God has given you. And again, it's okay if you stumbled. Everyone stumbled. I mean, think about it. If you know how to ride a bike, you know, there was a time period where you had to use training wheels. And even after you took the training wheels off, you probably crashed and fell a few times, but you get back on the bike. So when it comes to the thing of ministering, you will have crashes. You will crash and burn. I tell you, I started the ministry in 2002, and I tell you, there's been ups and downs. I started and I stopped. I started and I stopped. I said, the heck with this. This ain't working. I threw it to the side, and then the Spirit of the Lord grabbed me again and got right back in the game. You will go through those things. If you don't physically stop, your mind will stop. I mean, you will have this tug of war thing happening, but all that's used to design to build you up stronger so you can move in a greater dimension in God. And in doing so, you will begin to see you through the eyes of God. Because one thing you must remember is that if you took an apple and you cut it open, there's a seed on the inside. Now, that seed can't do anything. It will remain a seed as long as it stays within the apple. And even if the apple begins to rot and deteriorate, that seed will still do nothing if it's not planted in the right environment. And the environment must be, the seed must be taken out, put in dirt, put in darkness. Okay? So when God takes you as a seed, You see that seed in your hand and it's in light, but then God has to take that seed and dig a little hole, push it in and cover it up with dirt so it can begin to go through the process of growth. So it's in the darkness, it's in darkness. You got to give it water, you got to pull the nutrients out the soil, and then over a period of time, it begins to, the roots begin to come out of the seed, and then the roots, they don't go up, but they begin to go deeper. You see? So when God grabs you and puts you in the dirt, he he's planting you, if you plant the right way, the roots that he's planting, that he that's in you, is going to go deeper into the dirt so it can grab hold and create an anchor. And when God grabs you, he's going to take your spirit, not your physical self. He's going to take your spirit into the deeper things of God. And when you go deeper into the things of God, you begin to move. Words that you begin to say begin to have an anointing and begin to shift. And then you begin to take on the language of God. And then when you speak like God, you begin to see things. Like when God said, let there be light, there was light. When God begins to use you to speak the oracles of God, demons tremble and you get elevated, not in a space of pride, but you get elevated and, oh my God, this is working. And at the end of the day, who wants to go for and do something that's not working? Although the devil will come to your mind, like it says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, for it says the godless world attacks the unbeliever's mind. The playground for the devil is your mind. So he will always throw a seed of negativity that is not working, because again, he wants to throw the seed of seeing, not the seed of hearing, because faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Okay, so we're going to end it right here. If this has been a blessing to you and you can hear the Spirit of the Lord for you to be a blessing to this ministry, please go to ByronBurkeMinistries.com, give a blessing. Again, if you want to reach out and just talk the word and go over some things on how you can move your ministry forward. And again, when I talk about ministry, I'm not talking about the religious phase of ministry where you have a church building and you have members come to the church. The ministry is you, and your ministry is tied up in your testimony of all the things you've gone through in life. Okay? You must remember that. Your ministry will be birthed through your misery, because what you've gone through was not for you, but to pull someone else out who's going through. Amen. So again, this is Apostle Byron Burke, and we will speak to you again here on Byron Burke Ministries. God bless.